If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Did you know that MyBookie.com has more than just sports gambling? Oh yeah, they've got an online casino that is amazingly fun to play and can be quite profitable. Want to sharpen some skills for a trip to Vegas or maybe another casino? You want to practice card counting, bet variance, or some exotic strategy you saw on TikTok? MyBookie.com. And of course, there's always the sports. Not just football, which we're all salivating about, but baseball, golf, tennis, boxing, MMA, and a bunch of stuff that you'll say, wait, I can bet something on that? Yes, you can. Get an account at MyBookie.com. Enter promo code ZABE so they know that I sent you. And splash around and have some fun in life, especially after you get that reimbursement check from your sales meeting in Grand Forks, South Dakota. MyBookie.com, the one, the only, the official sportsbook of the ZABEcast. This is the ZABEcast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Wednesday, July 23rd, 2025. Thank you for downloading just you and me today. And then charge tomorrow for subscribers. I hope you enjoyed the free bonus edition of Scott and Solly yesterday. Just how the chips fell. And I'm glad, actually, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to do tonight's episode. Because, oh my God, so much is happening. The spigot of football content has been thrown wide open. It's not just the NFL camps opening, but it is media days in college football, and they are spicier and more absurd than ever. Football is coming back, and it's a beautiful thing. But let's start with one, John Michael Osborne. Rest in peace, Ozzy. Rest in peace. The rock and roller dies at 76 years old after a long battle with Parkinson's disease. Amongst other ailments, he had back surgeries that kept him from walking for some time. He actually performed his final concert on July 5th, and he was not terrible at all. Even though the Parkinson's affected his legs and he could not walk, it didn't affect his voice. And so, therefore, he was able to at least sing one more time. And it was pretty epic. Many people saying that singing songs like Mama, I'm Coming Home almost felt like he knew it was close and this was going to be the last time. When he was done, his trademark black mascara around his eyes was completely smeared. He was just bawling like a baby. Said, you have no idea how much this means to me. This is the greatest feeling in the world. Ozzy Osbourne was such a curious cultural and musical phenomenon. Great musician. That must be said first and foremost. Forget the image that he put forth. Forget the TV show with his wife, Sharon. Sharon! And his kids that really made him mainstream. For those who are not big heavy metal fans, forget all that. He was a great musician at his core. His family announced the rock legend's passing in a statement by saying, "It is with more sadness than mere words can convey that we have to report our beloved Ozzy Osbourne has passed away this morning. He was with family and surrounded by love. We ask everyone to respect our privacy at this time." This came 2 weeks after the ailing frontman reunited with original Black Sabbath bandmates Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler, and Bill Ward for his triumphant final show on July 5th. Shortly after his death was announced, a two-word tribute appeared on the official Facebook page of Black Sabbath, Ozzy Forever. 45,000 fans packed Birmingham's Villa Park Soccer Stadium. 5.8 million more metalheads around the world watched online. Osbourne's wife, Sharon, revealed in February he was unable to walk because of the Parkinson's, but that the diagnosis had not affected his voice. He was dubbed the Prince of Darkness, and he managed to muscle through four of Sabbath's most iconic hits: War Pigs, Nib, Iron Man, and perhaps the band's biggest hit, Paranoid. Bands that are direct descendants of Black Sabbath include Metallica, Slayer, Alice in Chains, as well as performers like Ronnie Wood of the Rolling Stones. He completed the metal marathon by cranking out covers from Black Sabbath or from Osbourne's solo career during the show. Of course, it was no secret that Osbourne had been sick for some time. He opened up about his battles with Parkinson's back in 2023. He also acknowledged the amount of epic drugs and alcohol he ingested early on in his career had taken a toll on his health. Well, no shit. And he credited his wife with repeatedly, quote, saving his arse. "I do count my lucky stars," Osbourne told the magazine. "I don't know why I'm still here, and I do sometimes think I'm on borrowed time. I said to Sharon the other day, what a great fucking life we've had, and what a great fucking experience." Amen to that. Now, his backstory is fascinating because Osbourne grew up with dyslexia, dropped out of school at 15, was working in factory jobs, including toiling in a slaughterhouse, and in a factory, get this, testing car horns. Imagine your job is to test car horns all day long. He also served a brief stint in prison for burglary. But then he found music. And it wasn't rock and roll at first. In 1968, he joined a band in need of a frontman. The band had Iommi, Butler, and Ward in it. So they needed a frontman. They said, "You want to give it a shot, John Michael Osbourne?" The band's name was called Polka Tulk Blues Band. They changed their name to Earth, but as their sound turned heavier and their lyrics delved into horror and the occult, they opted for yet another name change, this one inspired by the title of a Boris Karloff film. Black Sabbath was born. Incredible stuff. And of course, the TV show was amazing, where it was just one thing after another. The reason the TV show was such a huge hit was that you had this not fully retired, but no longer in his prime, psychotic, makeup-wearing, heavy metal musician just trying to navigate life as a family man, as a married father of two. And to watch him get into all these different kerfungles at home, inevitably to then cry out for help to his loving wife, Sharon. Sharon! Was classic. It was just amazing.
Do you want a burrito, sir?
Sure. I actually don't want a burrito. I just ate earlier.
Oh,
no. I heard you're still eating your burritos three times a day.
Twice as loud. I am burrito man. Hey! Get away from my burrito, little bastard.
It's not illegal. It's not illegal.
I
look
am
how
gonna
look
beat
how small
you.
Pocket knife blades are bigger than that.
You can't go out with that.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a 1-inch blade.
You can't.
Arguing over a pocket knife with their son.
Oh, yeah, I'm taking it.
No, Dad.
If you get busted, I'll fucking bust your ass.
Okay.
Man. Don't go out with
the fucking t-shirt with cocaine on your fucking t-shirt and a fucking... Give me the fucking knife.
The dog's barking. I mean, just mayhem in the house.
Who remembers?
Ozzy falling over backwards on a chair. Sharon! Rest in peace, Ozzy. You were one of a kind. So, did I mention the NFL training camp and the money season, which we're in now, where players are either getting paid or they're not getting paid, is in full swing. After Jarrah's tour de force on day one of Cowboys training camp, it was Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs' turn to offer a side availability to the media, because it was pretty much Parsons who Jerry dismissed by saying, look, we could sign him to a new deal, but he may not play all 17 games, which was kind of insulting. He also got the number of games wrong that Parsons missed last year. And then Diggs, he pretty much called out saying, we need more from him. We need more from him as a leader and as a player. And that, of course, did not go over well. Parsons said, yeah, I saw where, who was it that got paid? It might have been TJ Watt. Said, yeah, I know another guy whose team knew he was coming up for a new deal. They got ahead of it, and they paid him a nice new contract. Must be nice. So you get all these players that are running into the paywall head first. It's something that they don't understand, that this is why I've been screaming, hey, dummies. Hey, dummies, you need to get rid of the franchise tag, period. If the union could do two things and two things only in the next collective bargaining agreement, which, by the way, will not be for quite a few more years. Their re-upped deal that they signed in 2020 carries them through 2031. And they have so much problems with just their own executive director in that search, since they had both guys resign, Lloyd Howell and J.C. Tretter. By the way, Lloyd Howell also resigned from the Carlisle Group, his side hustle. So, yeah, you think the CEO of Astronomer is having a bad week. I'd say Lloyd Howell has had an even worse week. He's lost both his gigs. Anyway, so this is what either they don't understand it or they're not willing to fight for it. This would change the dynamic entirely. What you need to do is be able to say, I'm walking out the door in a year. What is baffling to me is how come nobody seems to understand how bad for the players the salary cap or the franchise tag is. You need to be able to say, I am walking out the door. You can say that I'm not worth X, but you better hope that 31 other teams don't disagree. Or you better hope that all 31 agree with your exact assessment of me as a player. Other teams will routinely overpay to get somebody else's guy or overlook things that a team will use as a chip against a player. Like, well, you're about to turn 30. I mean, Micah Parsons is going to be expensive for a reason. He gets to the quarterback with devastating effectiveness. That is what wins in the NFL. Trey Hendrickson in the same boat in Cincinnati. He just posted to his social media a picture of a sunset on a highway, and it was tagged with Florida. So he has left Ohio and he is not even in camp for the Bengals. Not good. But all this is because what happens is the players realize, well, I could not sign this shitty deal they're offering me. And then once I hit free agency, they're just going to go, franchise tag. You ain't going anywhere. They hit the reset button. They get to pay you 1 year at a time, which is a dream for the owners. Who wouldn't want to pay these guys 1 year at a time in case their leg snaps in two or something else happens? That's why the franchise tag is so bad. And yeah, only six or seven teams use it every year, or seven or eight or whatever the number is. Doesn't matter. They routinely, the owners, make sure the best players can't walk out the door. The only real power you'd have as a player is to show your heels. And the length of rookie contracts have got to be shortened. If I'm the union, I'd drive hard. I could go, look, three-year deals max. Rookie deals, 3 years max. Or let each player negotiate how long of a deal they want to sign. The way that the owners got the union to buy in on mandatory five-year deals for first-rounders, four-year deals for second-rounders is absurd. Because what happens is a guy who's a great player who is drafted in the wrong place because it's not a perfect science figuring out who's going to be good, take Brock Purdy, end up getting screwed. And I know you're going to say, well, you just got paid a lot of money. Yeah, now he got paid a lot of money for these years going forward. He played so far, he played millions of dollars under his value because they drafted him wrong. And he had no leverage because of the minimum length of contract requirement that the union, I guess, doesn't seem fit to go after. But then again, they can't even tie their shoes and chew gum at the same time at this point. They got to get themselves an executive director who knows how to fight, who gets everyone rallied behind a single cause and says, look, we're going to do this. If I were the players, I'd say three and the door. That's what we got. We got you got 3 years of us as players when you draft us. And then we can literally hit the door no matter what. You cannot stop us from leaving. So therefore, if a player's good, teams will panic and they'll say, oh shit, we got to get him under contract quick. Otherwise, this stuff is going to keep on happening and keep on happening. And maybe the players will catch on, maybe not. Who knows? They seem too disorganized right now to do pretty much anything about it. Oh yeah, about Cowboys training camp. ESPN had to apologize on Monday because they showed a clip of Dak Prescott purportedly throwing a touchdown pass to one George Pickens, their newly acquired wide receiver from Pittsburgh. Only one problem. It wasn't actually Pickens. Oh, wait, only two problems. It wasn't even from this year. They used the highlight and they put it in front of the panel, including Molly Kierum, who had to issue this apology afterwards.
Go back to First Take. Quick cleanup on our part. Earlier we
should... Yeah, quick cleanup. You know, we're the worldwide leader in sports. We got reporters all over the place. We have camera crews. We have video editing systems and interns and production assistants. Who knows how many people are working on the show, but whoops, we just showed a highlight from last year.
Go back to First Take. Quick cleanup on our part. Earlier, we showed video that we identified as George Pickens at Cowboys training camp. It was not George, so we apologize on that mistake.
Yeah, we apologize. It was also not from this year, but hey, whatever. Is the logo coming back? This Commanders, Redskins, and now Trump situation is quite fascinating. Trump, of course, jumped in with both feet on social media on Sunday, saying that the Commanders should absolutely change their name back to the Redskins. This was quickly met by the team and several other entities basically saying, yeah, no, we're not interested in that. Then Trump doubled down and said, well, maybe I'll block the stadium deal you're almost across the goal line on if you don't change the name back. My initial thought was, oh boy, this is not helpful. This will probably kill any chance of the name and or logo coming back. But I didn't think it through enough because looky, looky what is happening now. The chairman of the committee that is deciding on whether or not to approve this stadium and to allocate public funds for it said today, Tuesday, that he would not be opposed to the name Redskins if that was required to get this deal done. And Mike Florio, for what it's worth, and I know you're going to chuckle and say, Zabe, you're quoting and complimenting Florio a lot. I thought you hated him. I don't hate him. I think at times he's had some of the dumbest takes I've ever heard. But so have I. You know, none of us are perfect. Florio says he thinks the logo's coming back. Writes Florio, while it's possible that they simply don't want to risk being on the wrong side of a ready, fire, aim executive order from Trump, it's also quite possible that deep down the Commanders wouldn't be particularly upset about being forced to change their name as part of getting a DC stadium. Prediction, says Florio, at a minimum, the old logo is coming back, and it's possible the name will too. I had not considered that dynamic of, oh, yeah, oh, okay, twist our arms, that They just want to be able to say to advertisers, well, you know, we think it's a name that's kind of antiquated at best, maybe racist at worst, and we didn't really want to bring it back, but, you know, we need a new stadium. So, they twisted our arms. That's all they want. They want cover. They want political cover with corporate America to get back to what the name was. If it happens, and this is as real as I've ever considered it to be, although I'm still of the side of, I'll believe it when I see it. This is a hell of a fascinating story, so stay tuned, as they say. In Miami, Tyreek Hill is probably nearing the rapid fall-off portion of his NFL career. Happens to everybody, but it looks like after last year's unimpressive production and the season gone awry by the traffic stop that ended up with him face down on the pavement, handcuffed, and his wrist getting all jacked up, Tyreek Hill's got bigger problems with one of his many, many children. Take a listen to this.
My sons, they be on my head. They be like, Dad, Justin Jefferson, dog. My kids are like Justin Jefferson fanatics. So they really enjoy Justin Jefferson a lot. So I was talking to my son on FaceTime last night, and his mom told me, she was like, one of the kids came up to him and was like, hey, you Tyreek Hill's son? He was like, nah, Justin Jefferson, my dad.
I'm like,
so Jesus. I got him on FaceTime. I'm like, so Justin Jefferson is your dad? He was like, nah, dad. I was like, well, tell Justin Jefferson to take you out of Disney World. Yeah. But yeah, man, like.
Imagine that you are a superstar NFL player yourself, and your own son is idolizing another guy at your very position. Man, that's got to be humbling. Then again, the son's probably old enough to figure out, hey, wait a minute, how many brothers and sisters do I have, and how come they don't live in the same house? And why is it that my mom's name is Pam, and she's not around anymore next to Tyreek? What's going on here? They probably already sense, yeah, you know what? As a kid of Tyreek Hill, one of many kids, one of his, 10 by 7 women or something like that, probably isn't the worst idea in the world to be a free agent. To college football. Like I said, it's getting spicy. The Big Ten conference held their media days in Vegas. Why? Do they have a franchise? Do they have a school in Vegas that's part of the Big Ten? Not to my knowledge, not yet. But why not, right? So you had Kurt Cignetti, fresh off his surprise miracle season at Indiana, cocky as always, taking incoming fire from new Purdue coach Barry Odom over their schedule.
Barry Odom. I like Barry Odom. Taking a shot at our schedule. Did I think about it? Not much, but that would be an overstatement.
He also said in response to why did you drop some of the stronger non-con opponents from your future schedules, he said, well, I looked at it. We were going to adopt more of an SEC approach to our non-conference scheduling. God, I love it. It's just so good. We haven't even begun the college football season, and these coaches are already sniping at each other. Brett Bielema talked about traveling to Vegas in the private plane of Shad Khan. Why? Shad Khan, Jacksonville Jaguars owner, is an Illinois alum. So he wants Bielema and the Orange to do well this year. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you're putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process or you've been struggling to get your job post seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need. Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. But here's the deal. Hair loss isn't fun to talk about, but Hims makes dealing with it incredibly easy. No awkward doctor visits, no uncomfortable conversations. Just answer a few questions and their medical providers will determine if the treatment is right for you. They've got everything from chewable tablets to sprays and serums using clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can help regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. And get this, they'll ship it right to your door for free if prescribed, all for one low price, no insurance needed. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/zabe. That's hims.com/zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo for your personalized hair loss treatment options. That's hims.com/zabe. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
To golf. So, now that the Open is over and the majors are done for 2025, many of you, like me, are waiting on pins and needles for that email from one Augusta National telling us whether we won the coveted Willy Wonka tickets to the chocolate factory that is Augusta and the Masters Tournament for 2026. God, I can't believe 2026 is just right around the corner. I can't even say, 2026? The hell? Still don't have flying cars. Getting close. Got AI that's going on. More on that in a future episode. I think I got to weigh in on AI stuff I've been seeing, reading, watching. It's interesting. But yeah, 2026 Masters, they're sending out emails saying either you, most of them, they're saying, yep, sorry. Sorry, Chuck. No luck for you this year. No Masters tickets. But a select few are getting the congratulations. You can now buy your tickets to the Masters at face value for whatever days you said you would be available to use two tickets. That's the lottery. The lottery was put in place in the I asked Grok this. They said the ticket lottery began in the late 90s, although don't know how you would sign up in the late 90s because the internet was just in its infancy, and I'm not sure how you would even know about it per se, but it's taken off certainly in the last, let's call it 15 to 20 years. So for 20 years, and this is a well-known thing, although many golfers who should be entering the lottery are not, you email Augusta, you go through their portal, you sign up, you give them information. You don't have to put any money down right now. You don't have to give them a credit card right now. But you give them plenty of information to show and prove that you're not a bot. And then if your name gets picked, you can get two tickets to one of the days. Now, when you apply, you say, okay, which days would you take the two tickets? And I think the smartest thing to do is to click all the days, including practice rounds. Now, I've been lucky enough to have gone to the Masters competition rounds only. I've never been at the practice rounds, but I've been to the competition rounds four or five times now. I'm not sure just going to the practice round would do much for me, but for golfers and golf fans, it would still be amazing because you get to walk around the property, see it for yourself, see a bunch of players, get a vibe for the place, and then go back home and watch it on TV, which is where it's best to watch the Masters. Anyway, so they're starting to send out the emails. And I know I applied this year. Pretty sure I applied this year. And I'm still waiting for my email back. A number of other people have also not gotten their email back. And you're starting to get your hopes up. Like, well, maybe because friend A, B, and C got a rejection letter, maybe mine, which has not come yet, is because it's in the coveted 11,000 winners per day for the tournament lottery tickets. Approximately 7 million households apply to this lottery. The figure is not released by Augusta because they're secretive about everything, of course. And with 11,000 winners, which they did announce at least that that's the number of tickets, you got about a 0.55% chance, or 1 in 182. Seems like it's more like 0.55% chance. It's 0.5%. So that should be 1 in... maybe it is one. Why am I questioning Grok 3's math on this? It's a small percent. It's less than 1%, but it's greater than zero. Let me just go and refresh my email here. Nope, still have not got anything back. What if I can go check to see if I applied? Go into my email sent bin and find out, did I or didn't I this year? Then there's this, the Stephen Colbert situation is just incredible. The numbers are incredible. The conspiracy theories are wild. The delusion and the cope amongst his very limited number of actual fans is off the charts. And I just had some of my favorite ice cream with his dumb face on it again tonight, Americone Dream from Ben and Jerry's, a couple of socialist hippies who make great ice cream, and I will eat it. And I don't care for Stephen Colbert. He is a liberal hack, and his show is entirely not funny, but I will eat ice cream even with his dumb face on it because I don't care. The ice cream is that good. But the show cancellation is wild because on the one hand, he was the king of late night. But late night is dying. It's a category of TV that cannot sustain itself anymore for a variety of reasons. The demographics are terrible. The numbers are bad. But he led late night with like 2 million fans. Or 2 million, not 2 million fans, but like a 2.5 million rating. 2.5 million viewers, something like that. The age, however, of Colbert's audience, I had to double take, triple take, and say, wait, what? The average age of Colbert's audience is 68. Average. Oh, my God. One 30-year-old watching might bring down the average a full point, a full year. So he was getting better ratings than Kimmel or Fallon, but he was costing the company a ton of money. He made $15 million a year. The budget for the show was $100 million reportedly, which is mind-blowing. They employed 200 full-time staffers. And they were losing $40 million a year. And so they pulled the plug. Now, the conspiracy theory is that, well, Paramount, the parent company, is working on a big merger that's got to pass FTC muster. And, you know, the government, with Trump, you know, in control of it now, could have said, you better fire him because he said talked a lot of shit to me. Well, everyone talks shit about Trump. And because the show has been pre-canceled and will not go off the air until May of next year, he's going to have tons of time to really talk shit about Trump. So the notion that this was a, oh yeah, let's go ahead and demand that Paramount do this in order for them to get approval on their merger is, I mean, it's just ludicrous. It's the things that people will believe is, well, okay, believe it if you will. The money losing on this show was insane. I would bet you that Paramount's like, okay, good. Now's the time to cancel it because of this merger, and it'll make people blame Trump, not us. Because even though his audience is not vast, and I don't know the last time he produced a viral video of his show that was actually funny, only cringeworthy, I bet you Paramount's like, this is perfect. We'll cancel the show now, let everyone think it's because of some nefarious Trump conspiracy, and then we can dodge the heat on it. And not keep losing $40 million a year. That said, I think the one viral moment from Stephen Colbert, which had to be the most viral but not funny and cringy as hell, was his dance routine called the Vax Scene, when Colbert thought it was his duty to encourage Americans to get the COVID vaccine. Bunch of dancers dressed up as needles, animations of needles, Colbert dancing. Of course, this to the tune of Tequila. I mean, you know, they had to spend a lot of money on costumes, choreography. I guess this is why they employed so many people. I mean, just stupid. Utterly cringe. But hey, that was Stephen Colbert for you right there. I have always thought Jimmy Fallon had the funniest instincts of the late night hosts, but eventually he kind of succumbed to the whole, well, we just got to bash Republicans. Colbert, though, would book guests like Adam Schiff on the show. I mean, just regular politicians. He had Doug Emhoff on once, the potential first husband. Why? Where's the entertainment value in that? The guy who should have gotten it, they say, is Craig Ferguson. I watched very little of Craig Ferguson, but those who did said he was really funny. Not American, willing to go both ways with his jokes and criticism, which probably is why he didn't get the job full time. Conan is by far the funniest, by far the most creative. You go watch any number of Conan clips of his various late night iterations, and you will, if you have any sense of humor whatsoever, you will be howling. Also, all the other late night hosts, still making way too much money for garnering way too small of an audience, showed up the other night to support in solidarity with Stephen Colbert, which tells you all you need to know. Oh, okay. So this is not about entertaining. It's not about being funny. It's not about being creative. It's solidarity. We got to speak truth to power. We got to talk shit about Trump. Okay. And then you had Jon Stewart say, oh, the vaccine, you think that was the most cringeworthy thing? the most cringeworthy viral video ever? I'll one-up you. I'll get a black gospel choir to sing Go Fuck Yourself to show how cool and tough I am in a suit making $15 million a year or whatever Jon Stewart's making to stick it to Trump.
Go fuck yourself!
Go fuck yourself!
A little bit quiet. Fuck, fuck, fuck yourself. Just go fuck yourself. Everybody! Fuck, fuck, fuck yourself. Just go fuck yourself.
Wow. That is some good creative stuff right there. Unbelievable. Well, will Colbert make it to May of next year? That's, I guess, the big question. Of course, it's not like Paramount isn't willing to spend money, because they just signed South Park to a record $1.5 billion streaming deal. That's right. Trey Parker and Matt Stone, you guys are geniuses, and you're stinking rich, and you deserve it. Paramount had to outbid a number of streaming services that wanted to house South Park's past episodes on their platform. And to do so, they had to pony up a lot of money. Parker and Stone are going to receive, I think I'm reading this right, an annual fee of $300 million. The two of them. Annual fee. In addition, they will create 10 new episodes of South Park a year over the duration of this contract. Damn. Now, I know this is going to make people say, you've got to be kidding me, Zay, but my South Park knowledge is so limited. I have watched so little of the show, and I know that I should. I, however, cannot get over the crude aesthetic of the cartoon animation, which I know doesn't matter, and I know becomes a funny part of the joke with the shows and with the episodes. I know. I just haven't watched much of it. I'm going to start trying to dig in. There's such a mountain, though, of back episodes I've got to watch. But I'll give it a shot. To my knowledge, though, at least correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like Parker and Stone will take shots at both sides. That they will at least call balls and strikes down the middle when it comes to being, you know, political. I think. Probably still lean leftward, but not nearly so much. Paramount said, yeah, $1.5 billion for South Park, we're in. Colbert Show losing $40 million a year? No, we're not going to do that anymore. Before we end on some Aussie, because you know we're going to end on some Aussie here, I love a good meme. I love a good video meme. I love a good still meme. Anything that is good enough that is going to be shown and used and retweeted and posted time and time again. Jim Harbaugh has given us a hell of a meme. Day one of Chargers training camp, and for some reason, Jim Harbaugh, old Jimmy Hardpaw, the weirdo that he is, great coach, by the way, but weirdo, cheater too, but weirdo. He was watching practice from behind two large sort of plastic curtains surrounding the practice field. And he had the curtains pulled up towards his face. And all that was showing was Harbaugh's face poking through the two curtains, almost like Jack Nicholson poking his head through the axe-handled door in The Shining. Here's Johnny! With his mouth wide open, just gaping at Justin Herbert taking a drop back. Mouth wide open is the funniest thing ever. And the cinematography is great because you can't see him at first. Herbert's blurry jersey is in the foreground. He takes the snap, drops back, moves to his right to reveal what? Harbaugh standing there like the weirdo he is, watching football. Amazing. All right. Look at the time. Thank you for joining me today. As always, rate and review. Tickles the algorithmic overlords. Tell a friend. Tell an enemy. And as always, if you want more of me, Fridays, or in this case, it'll be Thursday's show. I'm taking a day off. are for subscribers only. It's a mere $5 a month, $55 a year. You get 12 months for the price of 11. Or if you want to go month to month and cancel anytime, be my guest on that. I think the greatest song by Ozzy ever, Crazy Train, is here right now. Let's just sit back, soak it in, and say rest in peace, Ozzy. You were one of a kind. Millions of people.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Did you know that MyBookie.com has more than just sports gambling? Oh, yeah. They've got an online casino that is amazingly fun to play and can be quite profitable. Want to sharpen some skills for a trip to Vegas or maybe another casino? You want to practice card counting, bet variance, or some exotic strategy you saw on TikTok? MyBookie.com. And of course, there's always the sports. Not just football, which we're all salivating about, but baseball, golf, tennis, boxing, MMA, and a bunch of stuff that you'll say, wait, I can bet something on that? Yes, you can. Get an account at MyBookie.com. Enter promo code ZABE so they know that I sent you. And splash around and have some fun in life, especially after you get that reimbursement check from your sales meeting in Grand Forks, South Dakota. MyBookie.com, the one, the only, the official sportsbook of the ZABEcast.